And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on this gorgeous midsummer day, late July day. It's actually a little bit hot, I think most people would agree. I know I stepped out on the front porch here at the radio station about 10 o'clock this morning, and it was already 81 degrees, and it was hot in the sun. But, hey, it's late July, you know. Time for the Farm Show. And that's what we're going to talk about today in a variety of different ways. We're going to have some young people with us, some young adults, a little bit later on the program. They're going to be involved in the junior livestock sale. That's always one of the highlights of Farm Show Week. But first, we're going to talk about the Farm Show in general. We have a couple of longtime board members with us here in the studio today. Terry Cranmer, good to see you again, my friend.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's good to be here.
And Ken Metrick as well. Ken, same thing. Good to see you.
It's good to be back.
I mentioned when I said hello to these guys out in the lobby, has another year of our lives passed us by already? It's time for the Farm Show.
It doesn't seem possible, but it is.
It's next week now, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
And this will be...
How many years? 71st Farm Show.
So that takes us back to around 1950, I guess.
47 was when the guys got together and had the plowing contest. A lot of people may not realize that's how it started. In 47, they had a plowing contest, and it was so well received, they thought, let's do this again and be a little more organized and invite some of the machinery dealers locally to come and display. And they drew up some bylaws, and 1948 was the first farm show, and I don't think those guys had any idea that it would turn into what it has turned into.
Who could imagine?
And we're still at the same location, original location. We've never moved.
That I did not know either. Yeah. So that's where the original plowing contest was held.
Correct.
Of course, there was no lake there and no buildings or anything at that point. No, just an open field, I imagine.
Yeah, there really wasn't many buildings put on there. 58 was when the dairy barns and the ag building was built. So they went about 10 years without any buildings. Then the Meridian Eat Stand, which now Fairground Market runs, that was built in 61. Mm-hmm. And then from then on, it just progressed into what we have now.
What about the airport? Was that there?
Well, no, it wasn't originally. It was up in the field was a grass runway, and then they built the airport later.
Yeah, that's right. It was called Roe Field, wasn't it?
They still call it Roe Field at Butler Farm Show, but the landing strip was up like where you park, where the rides are, where the cell phone towers are.
Mm-hmm.
That was the grass runway. And then in the late 50s, it got moved over to a permanent site where it is now.
Never knew that.
Yeah. You used to have the flying farmers would put on demonstrations, bomb dropping and stuff like that. And that was back in the days when I was a kid.
They don't do that anymore.
No.
Not since the days of the turkey drop on WKRP in Cincinnati.
They used to have bags of flour they would drop out of a plane and see who could get the closest to the big X in the middle of the field.
You know, I've wondered many times, because I usually park in that area over there. I don't know. Maybe I go when the other parking lot is full. It's just a good place to park. It's a good place to come in. And I've often wondered about what that was, because it's a long straightaway. Yep. Had no idea that's where the runway used
to be.
That's
the old airstrip, yep.
Hmm. And that was Roe Field. It was connected with the old lumber yard, wasn't it, in Meridian? Right. Wasn't that the Roe family or something?
Yes. The Roe family had the lumber yard in Meridian.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. It's been a pretty successful lumber yard if they had their own airstrip.
And he was actually one of the big instigators of the farm show.
Yeah, he was one of the founders, Jack Rowe.
Jack Rowe.
Yeah, we have his picture hanging in the office, yep.
Wow. Well, thank goodness for the foresight of those people 70 years ago who decided to expand their plowing contest and turn it into a farm show. You know, I was looking at the, it was over the weekend, Post Gazette ran a feature story on all the fairs that are coming up. Now, the Butler Fair is already come and gone, but most of them are this time of year and later. And they had them all listed. And there was the Butler Farm Show. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know. I don't think any other county has a farm show. It's just us, right?
Well, the Audi Mannheim Farm Show in northern Lancaster County, they call theirs a farm show. And the Lawrence County Fair used to be called the Lawrence County Farm Show, and and somewhere along the lines it just got changed to Lawrence County Fair. But
Lancaster County, goodness, that's almost to Philadelphia. That's out in Pennsylvania Dutch country. Yeah,
the reason we're not changing our name is because one of our main objectives is to promote agriculture, and that's why we stick with the Butler Farm Show. We're not.
We are a fair. We're a fair. We're a traditional county fair, but we go with the name Farm Show because Butler has a Butler Fair, and that saves some confusion too. You know, having two Butler fairs in one county. So we're the Butler Farm Show, and as Terry said, our goal is to educate and promote agriculture in our community. So,
well, I think it's appropriate because although agriculture is no longer the number one industry in Butler County, it's number two. And it was, for a long time, number one. It's been overtaken by tourism, believe it or not. That's now the number one industry.
It still is number one in Pennsylvania, though.
Is it really?
Yeah. Agriculture is Pennsylvania's number one industry. Yep.
And it's obviously a big part of our local economy if it's the number two industry in Butler County, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. But it everybody's involved in agriculture. If you eat any time of your life, you're involved with agriculture.
You know, in today's society, especially young people who are not involved, if they're not from a farm family, they probably don't realize how much of our local food is grown here in Butler County.
We're generations away. You know, 60 years ago, everybody either had an uncle or a grandpa on a farm. And even if you only went there on Sunday to visit, you were in touch with what was going on. You saw the barn, you went in the barn, you played in the barn, you saw the crops growing. And we're generations away from that, so that's why it's even more important for us. And if you look at the things we have going on, to have those people experience that, because a lot of people don't realize where their food comes from and how much work it takes to put food on their table.
We'll talk about the events in just a moment or so here, but Ken, you reminded me when you mentioned generations away. I can remember when I was in elementary school and in junior high school. Now, I went to a smaller school district. I was at AC Valley. But I guarantee you that at least half of my classmates were farm family kids.
Oh, yeah.
They were on dairy farms or cattle farms or something up in that area. It might have been more than that. I'm not sure. I know because I visited, you know. They were best friends, and I would visit the farms.
You get be educated at the same time.
Absolutely.
And as you said, agriculture and tourism, you know, what better way to promote agriculture and tourism with a county fair? It's tourism. The county fairs are tourism across the state, and agriculture, our number one industry. I mean, that's the best way to promote agriculture is through the tourism using the county fairs.
Well, there's a lot of entertainment. There'll be a lot of education, too, about farms and agriculture, but there's a lot of entertainment coming up next week at the Farm Show. Let's run through the schedule here. First of all, Ken, when does it open? Do you still have the traditional opener on Sunday for folks who have been busy all weekend getting set and they haven't had a chance to go to church?
We do. Actually, 4 o'clock on Saturday is a little Miss Butler Farm Show pageant.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of our first activity. But Monday is officially the opening day. Monday morning at 8:30, the gates swing open, and we start for the week. But Sunday, all the animals come in, all the arts and crafts, the farm products, the quilts, the chickens, the ducks, the cows, they all show up on Sunday. The antiques, and then at 7 o'clock we have a non-denominational worship service in the auditorium shelter, and everybody's invited to come to that, and that's kind of the official, you know, kickoff of the farm show on Sunday evening, and then at 8:30 in the morning it all begins.
I love the judging of all the arts and crafts and the jellies and the pies and everything like that. That is a throwback to what so many people remember as old-time America.
Right. I was just thinking the other day, that was my first introduction to the farm show because my grandmother, back in the early 50s, took in entries down at the farm products. And so that was my first, I'd go with her to that, and that was my first introduction to the farm show.
I thought you were going to say you baked a pie.
No.
That was your introduction.
I ate a few of them, but never. they wouldn't want to judge a pie I bake.
What about the particulars for admission and parking and that sort of thing, Terry Cranmer?
It's remained the same for the last few years. Now, Monday we give a special discount. It's a $7 per person. That includes the ride and parking and everything.
Includes the rides?
It includes the rides.
Really?
And then the rest of the week it's $8. And that still includes the rides. The only thing we do charge extra for is the arena, because our arena expenses have been going up the last few years. They charge more for tractor pulls, and they charge more for demolition derbies. And so we do charge a $4 fee to get into the arena, but that's extra. If you don't want to go to the arena, you don't have to pay the $4.
And if you do, it's $12. And $12 in today's world isn't a whole lot of money.
You can't go to the movies for that. Really? And here's the live entertainment. I didn't realize that covered the rides,
You can
too.
Come in the morning and stay all day till the cows go home.
I know a lot of people. I would be one of them. I'm usually there at least twice.
Yeah.
I just love the atmosphere of the farm show.
And we keep the family atmosphere. You'll see groups of people that haven't seen each other since last year at farm show. They'll be standing in the corners and just talking and having a reunion-like. So it's...
And a lot of people plan their. I know we get calls because my name for what I do year round with the farm show is on the website, and they'll call like at Christmas time and say, "What's the dates for the farm show? We have to plan our turning our vacation to work, and so and so is coming in from Maryland or Georgia, and they want to come farm show week." So a lot of people actually plan some family activities around the farm show, which I think is pretty neat.
Do you have a formula for setting the date? By the way,
Yes. Labor Day. All the fairs base their dates forward from Labor Day. So we're always four Mondays before Labor Day.
Huh.
This year, Labor Day is September 1st, so we're August 5th through 10th. Next year, because of leap year, Labor Day is September 7th. So next year's farm show will be August 10th through 15th. It'll be a week later, but it's actually based from Labor Day. And all the fairs do that. Then the ride contractors and the food vendors, and they all have a schedule that they know. We go to farm show, the following week is Lawrence County, the following week is Crawford County, then we have Canfield or wherever they go. It's always going to fall into the same schedule.
Never knew that. I knew that Labor Day was early this year, so that's why the farm show.
That's why the farm show.
A couple of days earlier than folks might expect. It opens a week from today, folks, next Monday. At the farm show grounds, which, as Terry Cranmer said, was the original location for the plowing contest. Are there any records remaining from that? I mean, have any idea how many people showed up to plow that
day? There are a few. In fact, we have one of the plows that was used at the first contest. The junior board restored that plow here. It was donated back to the farm show, and it's on display in front of the office. And, in fact, I think this evening we're going to get it out and set it up. But it was used in that first contest. It was owned by a man named Nelson Caldwell, who had a farm in Butler Township. And he plowed in it. And we have a picture of him plowing in the contest with that plow also. So
I must tell you, one of the things that I enjoy about the farm show is the display of antique farm equipment, some of which is still operational.
Yeah, a lot of people... still using some of that tractors and stuff that's down there. And then we have an old thrash machine that we operate during the week. We have the old-time way of thrashing.
There was a machine that I was watching last year, I think, and I'm not a farm guy, so if I'm wrong on this, please correct me. I think it was a baler.
Yep.
Am I correct on that?
Right.
And this was, of course, back in the days when hay bales... came out in rectangles,
right.
not round like they are now in most farms. But I was fascinated. It was the antique equipment display is down by the pond, right?
Right.
It's always been, and that's where I was watching it anyway. And this baler was right up next to the fence, so
right.
I could see it and hear it. Pretty loud, by the way. But it ran on a... they had a gasoline engine and then this huge belt that went back and operated the mechanism of the baler. And, they had a couple of guys that were tossing hay up into the chute there, and sure enough, it came out in a square bale at the other end. Was smoking and jumping and bouncing around, but it worked.
Yep.
You know, low these many years later.
They threshed the oats. In fact, they cut the oats last week with a binder that the farm show owns, and they're on a wagon in the dairy barn right now drying. Huh. They'll thresh them oats next week as a demonstration, and as the straw comes off the thrash machine, they'll bale that straw up there. So that's it's kind of some of the old timers kind of can stand there and reminisce, and then the younger people are getting to see what things used to be like, you know, when you didn't have an air conditioned cab and a GPS guiding you through the field.
And thrashing, of course, separates the edible part from the straw.
The grain from the straw, yep.
Grain from a straw. Of course, for the animals, straw is edible too.
Yes.
They sleep on the straw. They use the straw for bedding. They'll pick through it, get some grass out of it, but the straw is basically used for bedding, what they lay on.
Hmm. Well, maybe we could use that too then.
Sure. Well, the old timer did have straw beds. Your mattress was stuffed with straw.
That's true. By the way, we just had a news story a couple of weeks ago. The farm show has been able to add some additional land there, right? To have more space for the display of antique farm equipment. That won't be this year, though, right? That'll be in the future sometime.
It's in the future, but our antique show has been getting so much bigger every year, growing every year, that it was pretty tight down there, so we are going to expand that area and put some more antiques in there.
Talking with Terry Cranmer and Ken Metrick, we'll take a break here. We're talking about the farm show, 71st annual Butler Farm Show. It's been going on without interruption since the late 1940s, and it opens a week from today, next Monday. And we'll take a break and be back to talk more in a moment. Just a quick reminder, the summer shoe clearance is going on for one more day at Miller's Shoes. They're open till 5 this afternoon, and this is the last day, 20% off their entire regular stock. Drastic reductions. Rockport, athletic shoes, SAS sale, women's entire stock of SAS, 15% off, including sandals. Miller Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. We will be right back.
With temperatures rising, pests have been more active than ever. Oesterling's Lawn and Garden has just what you need to help keep those pests away. They have fly traps, ribbons, baits, sprays, mosquito repellents to help protect your houses and barns. There's plenty of grain-free dog food, Perfect Coat dog shampoo, canned cat food, and cat milk replacers in stock. Even horse halters and horse brushes are still available. Stop by Oesterling's Lawn and Garden to see all the amazing in-store specials they have going on.
Talking about the Butler Farm Show, which is just around the corner, and I do mean just around the corner. It's next week. It opens Monday morning, although, as Ken Metrick said, the Little Miss 4-H Butler Farm Show competition is actually Saturday afternoon, right?
Right, 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. So the gates open bright and early on Monday morning of next week, and that's when some of the judging starts. The ride portion, the carnival portion, is that open in the afternoons or early in the evening?
Well, during the week, it's open starting in the morning.
Oh, okay.
But then the first day, they don't open because they're still setting something. Because they got to come from a distance, and by the time they get, they got to give their people a little rest from tearing down to setting up. And so it takes a while, and we want to make sure everything's safe. So it takes them a while to get everything set up and running. So the rides won't open until what time is
it? I think it's 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I think it's 4 on Monday.
Maybe 4 or 5 on Monday, then 1 o'clock the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, that's okay. 4 o'clock on Monday, still plenty of time to ride.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of like it. This is my personal preference. In the evening, when everything's lit up. Because you can see the rides from far away.
The people that do some advertising promotion work for us did a drone video, and it's on Facebook. It's on our website, too. If you get a chance, look at that. It shows from the drone at night. It's pretty impressive, all the lights and everything. But but like you said, when it starts Monday, it kind of starts with a bang. You know, we start right off judging livestock and all the farm products and arts and crafts, and it just hits the ground running. Then you get your entertainment in the evening in the auditorium shelter, and away we go.
Let's talk about some of that entertainment, Ken. There's pretty much music every night, isn't there?
Yeah, and we try to do a variety. Not everybody likes the same kind of music. Monday night we have the Good Guys Band, which is more of a traditional country band, and they do two shows, one at 7 and one at 9, and it's in the, we call it now the Pennsylvania Lottery Pavilion. It's the auditorium shelter. And Tuesday night there's a band called This Is the World, and they play classic rock from back in the 60s, 70s, some things in the 80s. Wednesday night we have Well Strung, which is a bluegrass band. Thursday night we have the Allegheny Drifters, which is a bluegrass band. We usually did one night of bluegrass, but people love bluegrass music, and so we thought, well, this year we had a chance to get Well Strung, so we have them. Next year is Remington Ride from Nashville. Well, they're from out east, but they're nationally known now. They're coming back, and they're hard to get, so people like them last year. You can mark your calendars for next year. They'll be here. And then Friday night, Rustic Revelation, which is a country band. They play some traditional country. They do some modern country and maybe even a little bit of southern rock. And then Saturday night is our fiddle contest, and that's been expanded to fiddle, flat-top guitar, mandolin, and banjo. And that's our thing Saturday at 5 o'clock. It's grown so much we don't even have a band. When the fiddle contest is done, that kind of wraps everything up in there. But we get fiddlers and guitar pickers from West Virginia, Maryland, all over Pennsylvania. So it's been a pretty well-received thing. And I think, I was looking the other day, Terry, I think this is the 34th
year that
we've done that. Because we were doing it before I was on the board. I've been on the board for 30 years, and I think we did it 4 years before that. So
all these musical performances in the evening are free with your admission.
Right. That's the only thing you have to pay for is after you get in there is if you want to eat.
And you want to eat.
Save your dollars for eating, because you got the Denny and Pearls that everybody knows about, and other
Billy Boyer's ice
Billy
cream
Boyer's
and apple
ice
dumplings.
Oh yeah, fresh squeezed lemonade. So I can. The aromas are already wafting into my nose.
A lot of good hot sausage.
You always want to
stop, Kendrick.
Always want to come to the farm show hungry.
Let's talk a little bit, Terry Cranmer, about some of the shows in the arena, because a lot of folks are interested.
Yeah, we have back this year. We have the Mini Mod tractor pulls. That's almost like a garden tractor with a big motor on, but it's that size of tractor. And that's Monday night. And then Tuesday night, we have the regular truck and tractor pulls, the limited super farm tractors, and the super stock 4x4 trucks, and the regular 4x4 trucks. And then Wednesday night, we have the four-wheel drive pull. And Thursday night, we have the figure eight race, which has been pretty popular for us the last few years. We've had the figure eight race there, and then after the race is all over, anybody that has a car that's still running and wants to smash it up, they have a mini derby after the figure eight race, because a lot of guys, they don't want to take the car home, so that they go ahead and have a little derby afterwards. And then of course Friday night's our big devolution derby, where it's pretty exciting. We start filling the grandstands early that night because people want to get a good seat. And then Saturday night we have the semi truck pulls, which have been pretty popular. We've been gaining trucks every year, and I think I heard them say something about they might have a super hot class this year. So that's ones that you really don't run down the road, but the regular trucks that, like the semis that are running down the road, they'll unhook our trailers and pull. So that's usually pretty exciting.
Some of those popped-up vehicles, they're pretty loud. You can hear them all over the farm showgrounds when they fire up.
And put out a lot of smoke.
Yeah. And then, you know, Saturday morning also, we want to mention that it's our open stock tractor pull. Those are the ones that come out of the field. Now, they do have a modified, you know, hot stock class too, but there's ones that guys just bring that they might unhook from the manure spreader at 9 o'clock and have them at the farm show at 10 and take them up the track and just have a ball. It's kind of takes you back to when it started.
Yeah.
You know, the tractor pulling was just field stock tractors, and they pulled a sled. But things have changed, just like a lot of other things. But I know a lot of people like to enjoy watching the old tractors pull.
And there's something that we never had before is the Idaho potato truck. Now, it's only going to be there one day because we're just on their schedule passing through, because they travel all over the country. and they'd like to stop. So they'll be there on August 7th, but just the one day appearance, and that's that big tractor trailer with the big potato on it people see in the advertisement and everything.
I've seen the picture of that thing. This potato fills the entire trailer portion of this tractor trailer.
Great. But it'll only be there one day, and they called us and wanted to know if they'd like us to have them there because they were passing through the area, and they said they can stop for one day, but that's it.
And that is Wednesday.
Wednesday the 7th. They'll be there from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
It's pretty impressive. So yeah. If you get a chance to come on Wednesday, you want to make sure you check it out. It'll be down along the airport. That's where we're going to park it for that day so they can get in and out of there. You know, and also we have some other acts there weekly. We have the Pork Chop Review. It was there last year. It's pigs. They're set up down at the end of the midway. There's pigs that do tricks. And
I've seen that.
You've got to see that because
it's unbelievable.
It's amazing. I mean, I've raised pigs a long time, and I can't train my pigs to walk on a trailer like that, but it's pretty amazing.
It's unbelievable.
And then we have the Mugician. He's back. He was there previously. He's a comedian, plays banjo, juggles, and he dresses like a cow, and his thing is to promote dairy. But and does it in an entertaining way. And then we have Kevin Adair is back. He's a guy that walks on stilts and juggles on stilts. He's pretty impressive. And then we also have the Ox Dynasty coming back for the fourth year. The guy has a team of oxen that he brings and walks around, and people are very impressed, you know, with the oxen and how he handles them and everything. So there's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff going on.
Those oxen are 6 feet tall. I mean, they're way above my head.
Big animals, yeah. That guy on stilts is pretty tall, too.
Yeah,
he is.
Ever try to walk on stilts there?
You ought to see him come in the office. He has to duck down. he can do it, but, man, it's fun just to watch him walk in the office.
So there's just the Mobile Ag Lab. I know you enjoy the Mobile Ag Science Lab that Farm Bureau brings. It's going to be back again this year.
I didn't know that.
Yep. They'll be back, so it's...
I went in there, it wasn't last year, but a couple of years ago I was in there, and I made, I forget what I made. An ice tray. It was a cup. Made a cup out of corn.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. So it's there. You know, there's auctions, the baked goods auction, the cheese auction. And, you know, you're going to hear about the livestock auction here in a few minutes with Tammy and her gang. But a lot of youth things. And that, to me, that's what it's all about. You know, that's why we have a junior board now for 6 years to teach these kids about the workings of a fair. Because a lot of people don't realize how much work it takes to put this thing on. It's year-round. We didn't just start working on it this week. It's been people working very hard year-round. And we want to get these young people trained to realize that and to instill in them the values that the farm show was founded on. And because, you know, I've been on the board 30 years, you know, somebody's going to have to take my place someday. I'm not going to do this forever. And we want the right people there to do it. So that's we already do have a former junior board member on our farm show board. So I think it's a good thing to get these young people, you know, trained right so the farm show can go on for years. Because that's what the founders wanted. You know, they wanted to stay the way it was with the values and that they founded it on. You know, they didn't want to lose it, in other words.
30-some years for Ken Metrick on the Earth. You're a veteran board member, too, Terry.
I've been on for 38 years.
38? So, you must be. And you must have some seniority, I would think.
Well, I don't know about that.
You get to sit in the chair at the head of the table?
No, no. I use it at the bottom of the table.
He gets to eat first.
But it's also family-oriented. Like I said, we have, even my family personally, we have 5 generations of working at the farm show and participating at the farm show. Started out with my grandmother. My dad was on the board. My brother was on the board. He was president one time. And my kids have all participated in the farm show. And now my grandkids are helping out. And if we couldn't do there's 17 board members, but we didn't have all the volunteers, it couldn't happen.
There's hundreds. We have an appreciation dinner for the volunteers. And there was over 200 there, and that wasn't all of them. Hundreds of people put this thing together and make it happen.
Every it year. Just seems like when it becomes part of your family, it's the farm show is part of your family.
There'll be Machinery Row again this year, right?
Yep.
Able to walk around and look at the brand spanking new machinery. Not just farm machinery, too. Some other
lawn mowers and
pickup trucks and cars and
stroll around there. Stroll around. That's always what I like to do at the farm show.
If you're deciding to buy a new lawnmower, you want to come there because you can compare them all in one spot.
Well, they'll all be there. Yeah. By the way, you mentioned on Monday it's a $7 admission. Mm-hmm. Every other day, $8. Which is, and that includes rides. What about parking? What's the cost to park?
It doesn't cost anything to park. That's parking and everything.
Pretty good deal, folks.
Like I said, the only thing you have to spend money on after you get in there is if you want to eat.
Or take a paddle boat ride.
Or that's take a paddle
boat ride. That's another one of our traditions.
Well, you could do both if you wanted to. Will the airport be shut down again this year for the duration of the farm show?
Yeah, it will.
You've been doing that for a couple of years because it's a nice entrance now.
Yeah, this is about, I think, the fifth year that we've had the airport shut. And it's, you know, it's kind of a bittersweet decision because that was farm show week. The sky was full of planes, but for safety reasons and just for the room, we're running out of room. It was a smart thing to do. You know, so we do it, and it's worked out well.
Next week, Farm Show Week. A lot of people look forward to that, boy, that's for sure. And we're going to talk more about it in just a couple of minutes because we're going to have some young people with us here in the studio who will be participating in the Junior Livestock Sale, and which is one of the highlights of Farm Show Week. So stick around. There's more to come. Ken Metrick, Terry Cranmer, good to see you again, my friends.
Nice to see you again. Thank you.
Nice to have you here.
Yep, thanks for having us.
A break. Back with more on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR in just a couple of minutes. Stick around. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary, and the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Tanglewood, your hometown center for entertainment, proudly presents the Skyliners. It's been 60 years since they topped the charts with Since I Don't Have You, but this famous Pittsburgh doo-wop group continues to thrill their fans. See the Skyliners live and in concert at Tanglewood, Saturday, August 10th. Doors open at 6, dinner buffet by Chef George at 7, showtime at 8. Only $35, and as always, it's BYOB. For tickets, call 287-0021.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Everyone's trying to beat the heat, so why bring it into your kitchen? There's no need to slave over a hot stove when you can go to Michael's Restaurant. They're cooking burgers, hoagies, pizzas, soups, and salads to feed the entire family. So relax, stay cool, and take the family to Michael's Restaurant, Route 422 in Butler.
Welcome back, good friends. We're going to be talking farm show again, as we mentioned at the start of the program today. Going to talk about the farm show in general, which we did with Ken and Terry. Now we have several young adults with us here in the studio. We're going to be involved in the Junior Livestock Sale, which is always one of the highlights of Farm Show Week. And Tammy Schulteis is here as well, with whom we have had the pleasure of talking for many years. And she always lines up some young adults to come in and chat with us. Tammy, good to see you.
Nice to see you, Dave. Missed you last year. You were on vacation.
Doggone.
I know. That was, you know what? That was the first year in probably about 17 years that you were not here. Yeah.
Well, by gum, we're together here today.
Exactly.
So that's good news. The Junior Livestock Sale is still going to be on Thursday?
Always on Thursday of the farm show. It starts at 6 o'clock. We do start with some warm-up type things. We have our scholarship program presentations, and then we'll start with our charity animals, and then we'll go into the rest of the sale.
For people who aren't familiar with this, explain just what happens at the Junior Livestock Sale.
Okay, so depending upon what animal's coming into the ring, they'll introduce it by the lot number, how many pounds it is and what 4-H member or FFA member is bringing it in. You'll get a buyer's number at the door. You'll register. And as the auctioneer starts the bidding, you'll raise your card, tip your hat, whatever. We're not one of those fancy ones where you can give a little nod or a wink. You'll get missed. But they're all sold by the pound, except for the rabbits and the chickens. They are sold by the pen. And then once you're done, you come over to the table. The ladies will do your paperwork, pay them, and then you'll also pick your processor. And one thing we are asking this year that you pick two in case our processors are full and they can't process your animal in a timely fashion, then it could possibly go to your second choice. But and then you make arrangements with them. They cut it to your liking. You pick it up and pay them and put it in your freezer and enjoy.
And this is open to the public. You don't have to be have any special
that
connection.
That is correct. You don't have to be a businessman. You can be a family, an individual. We buy every year, whether it be beef or lamb, to put in our freezer. There are some businesses that do buy and donate back to our scholarship funds or to a 4-H club. And we also have those who graciously donate back to different organizations within Butler County, to the maybe the Lighthouse Foundation or St. Vincent de Paul, and then you're helping others.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. It's good for the young adults, too. Let's talk with them. Let me go to Maggie Schwamm here. First of all, Maggie, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You are going to be participating in the Junior Livestock Sale. Tell us about your animals.
I have one lamb and one goat. We have over 25 goats that we're taking to the farm show.
Mm-hmm.
With my family, we have 5 goats that we are selling, and then one lamb.
How come you're taking 25 if you're only selling 5? Are they just to show?
We have breeding boar goats, so we have we have a breeding facility at home where we breed our goats and then take them to farm show and fair and sell and show them.
Okay, that's good. So you've been raising this goat for how long?
All my life.
Mm-hmm. What about the lamb?
Since January.
Okay. So a lamb can come to market that quickly?
Yes.
I didn't realize they grew that fast.
Oh, yes. Very fast.
Yeah. So you have to obviously take care of this animal.
Yes.
Feed it, make sure that it's healthy and all that stuff. Every day you're
visiting
with this lamb, huh?
Uh-huh. I have to walk, feed, and water it every day.
Well, lamb obviously is good for eating. What about a goat? Do people eat goats?
People do eat goats.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That I've not heard of. Have you ever had a goat?
No.
I haven't either. I know there's goat milk.
Mm-hmm.
There's goat cheese.
Yeah, we don't do the goat milk and goat cheese stuff. Our goats are specifically for meat. But there are people that do have goats specifically for milk and for cheese, and they are called dairy goats. Mm. So people will use those goats, and it's a very long process to make goat cheese, and they'll make soaps and lotions and stuff out of milk, goat milk, too.
Get out, really?
Mm-hmm.
So they're called dairy goats. I never knew that.
Yes, they are called dairy goats.
Do they look different than a regular goat?
No. They all goats look the same. They do have different features, but they all mainly have the same, like, forelegs, body, face, ears.
I knew the four legs part.
Some have horns, so most of the time boar goats have horns, but dairy goats normally don't. You might get one or two breeds of dairy goats that do have horns, but most dairy goats don't.
You know a lot about goats. Yeah.
Yeah, we're very big on goats in my family.
Some people think goats eat anything. Is that true?
That is true.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They eat tin cans? Somebody told me that one time. I said, get out. They don't eat tin cans.
They might try to. I'm not sure if they will fully be able to swallow it and stuff, but they might try to eat it.
There was a story here in the news a couple of months ago where I think it was in Cranberry Township where they had one of their parks had a hilly terrain. They couldn't mow it, and they brought a herd of goats in to cut the grass down.
Yeah, we've actually taken our goats somewhere before and had them eat all the jaggers and all the high stuff to get all of it, you know, mowed down and stuff. And they do it quite fast. It's pretty crazy how fast they eat the food.
They eat jaggers.
Yes, they really love jaggers.
Be like eating a porcupine, wouldn't it? Let's talk a little bit with Riley Henry. Hi, Riley. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Nice to have you here. What animal or animals have you been raising for the junior livestock sale?
For the sale, I will sell one pig and a pen of chickens.
One pig and a pen of chickens?
Yeah.
How many chickens are in a pen?
There's four and one alternate, and I always donate my alternate to my buyer just as a thank you.
So it's just like a jury, huh? You have the regular, and then you got the alternate, you know, just in case one of them would get sick or something, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it helps with showing, too. If one of your birds is a bit smaller than the other, you can pull your alternate in to have it exhibited.
That makes sense. Chickens come to market in fairly short order. I was telling Maggie I had no idea that lambs were able to come to market that soon. Chickens, no time at all, right?
Yes, Ken Metrick orders them with the poultry club, and then they arrive at his house, normally around the first week of June. And then each member will go to his house and pick up their birds and take them home. So they're ready fairly quickly. About 6 weeks is the normal.
What do chickens eat?
Well, there are specific feeds for them. So we normally get ours from different feed places around our house. And there are starter feeds, which are for when they're little chicks. And they're very high in protein because they need to grow when they're so little. And then we move them to a grower feed, which just keeps them on the same path.
How often do you have to feed chickens? Once a day?
Well, when they're chicks, they have feed all the time. But then as they get older, we only let them eat during the day. That way they grow more. And chickens will get very lazy when they get fat. They don't like to move. So we try and keep them up on their toes.
I've seen in the movies where they go out and they just scatter the feed around, you know, in the chicken yard. Is that the way you really do it?
That's not how we do it, just because that's really easy to get mice and other kinds of animals, and they're trying to eat the food with them. So we keep their feed up high off the ground in feeders.
Didn't know that. Your family raises chickens in addition to you, or?
Yeah, we have some egg layers, but they're more just for our personal use.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about your did you say pig or hog?
Well, I call it both, so.
Is there a difference?
Not really, just different terms.
Well, see, Maggie's set me straight on the goats here, so that's why I was wondering whether there's a pig. Well, there's a sow.
Yeah.
That's a female pig, right?
More or less.
So how long does it take to bring a pig to market? When did you start raising your pig?
I got my pig in March, and it was born in February. So.
And it's already for market already?
Yes. When we weighed them last week, they were around 240 pounds.
Holy moly. That's putting on a lot of weight pretty fast.
Definitely.
And you thought chickens were lazy.
Our pigs, we walk ours twice a day for at least 15 minutes each.
I've heard that obviously, you know, I know nothing about this. I've heard that pigs... much to the surprise of some people, are very clean animals.
They are. A lot of cartoons depict pigs as being dirty in the mud, but really when they do that, they're just using the mud more as like a sunscreen. That way they don't get burnt because their skin is actually fairly sensitive. And they will, if their pen is big enough and it allows them to have that space, they will try and keep their food separated from their laying area, and they'll go to the bathroom normally in like one specific corner to keep everything clean.
Who knew? Yeah, pigs are, they're pink, you know, they're very sensitive to getting sunburned. So they roll around in the mud, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
That's like, you know, like sunscreen, like rubbing the sunscreen on.
Yep.
SP 50 or whatever you call it. Let's talk a little bit with Kaylee here. Kaylee Baker. Hi, Kaylee. How are you?
Good. How are you?
What animal or animals are you bringing to market and selling at the junior livestock sale?
I am selling two market lambs.
And as I learned from Maggie, they come to market in fairly short order. You started probably this late winter or spring.
They were born in February, and I picked them up in April.
So, what do you feed lambs? How do they grow so quickly?
There's different feeds you can have them on. We get ours from Purina. We have them on. We start them off with a medicated grower. We start them off with that for a few weeks, and then we transition them into just an overall. We do have them on supplements to do a top dress to finish them off and add some muscling.
I've seen, driving through the countryside here in Butler County, I've seen sheep out in the field, like in a pasture field. Is that common?
Yes.
So they can eat grass too, right?
Yes, they do eat grass. When we first put ours in the pen, they ate down the grass in about a couple weeks.
So you needed more, huh? Needed
yes.
a supplement, huh? So now when you're growing these animals and getting them ready to bring to market, you have to keep very diligent records, right, on everything, how much you feed them and all that sort of thing?
Yes, you want to keep them at a steady pace. If you're going to increase their feed, you want to increase it slowly, and you want to keep record. You also want to keep record if you have the vet come out, if you deworm them or anything, or give them shots, you want to keep record of that.
Do you have to dip them? You know what I'm talking about? Everybody's looking at me. I thought that was something that you did to sheep every so often. No?
No.
No?
The market lamb.
I must have been watching the wrong movie. I'm not sure. We're talking with three young adults who are here. All will be participating in the Junior Livestock Sale at the Butler Farm Show next week, Thursday of next week. I need to take a break. We'll talk more with our guests. It's great to have them here in the studio with us. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR Monday edition, a scorcher of a Monday, too. Temperatures are going to be in the upper 80s today. Probably getting pretty close to that already. We will be right back.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
When planning a funeral, many times there's the question of cremation. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler can answer your questions about cremation. Is cremation appropriate? Should there be a funeral service? How would your family feel about cremation? And of course, what's the cost? Keep in mind that even with cremation, it's a time to celebrate the meaningful life of your loved one. It's a precious time. Cremation has three advantages: simplicity, convenience, and it's local. Thompson Miller Cremation Program is right here in Butler at our newly created facility. We assure you that your loved one will never leave our care at any point in the process. So let's talk it over privately right here at Thompson Miller. Call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or online at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller, at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Welcome back. Talking about the farm show, specifically on this segment of the program, the Junior Livestock Sale, which will be Thursday of next week. Tammy Schultheis, you've been involved with farm shows since you were a kid, right?
Yes, I was. I was in the first 4-H auction, not myself as selling myself. I used to raise steers, so I worked just as hard as these girls did many years ago to help get it started.
Seven or 8 years ago, whenever you were.
Well, this is our 42nd annual sale. So back then we had our leaders who thought, hey, wouldn't it be nice if we had a way that the kids could sell their projects? Up until then, you did it all on your own. Mm-hmm. And that's how it all started. So it's come a long way over 42 years.
And is there a ballpark figure on how many young people have animals for sale each year?
No, that changes every year. And I did try to find that out from Extension because, contrary to belief, I do not work there. I'm just a volunteer, just like everybody else at the farm show. But we do have about eight livestock clubs that just deal with the animals that go up for auction. Mm. So, but I, as far as the number of kids, no, I couldn't tell you.
Mm. Let me talk a little bit more with Maggie Schwamm here, who will have a lamb and a goat, right?
Yes.
You said. Have you participated in prior years in this, Maggie, or will this be your first time?
No, I have been doing this for 4 years.
Oh.
Yes. Well, the auction for 4 years. I've been doing, well, showing goats since I was little.
Mm-hmm. So whenever you are participating in the junior livestock sale, do you have to lead your animal, like, into the center ring so everybody can see it? Do you have to walk around with it, or what do you do?
Yeah, so what I do is I come in and I'll walk around in a little circle that they have, and then I'll stop and set up my animal to make it look nice, and then I'll keep walking around some, and then normally by the time I go back and set it up again, that auction's normally over. Mm-hmm. They do it pretty fast. It's fast paced.
Walking around, the auctioneer is already calling for bids.
Yes. Yes.
People are bidding and everything like that, huh? Mm-hmm. Happens pretty quickly. Yeah. Is it fun?
Yes, it is. I love it so much.
Yeah. Do you come from a farm family, Maggie?
Yes, I do. We have over 30 goats. We have a couple sheep. I have a horse. My brother has 4 cows. And we have some chickens and ducks and guineas and stuff like that.
Where's the family farm?
Butler.
So you're not far away,
No,
huh?
We're not.
Yeah. Do you stay at the farm show all week?
Yes, I do. We have a camper that we put up there, and we just stay there.
Well, that's a lot of fun.
It is.
Yeah, and I think a lot of young kids do that, don't they?
Yes, they do. There is a lot of people there.
Yeah. Now, are you still in school, Maggie?
I am.
I hate to bring this up at the tail end of July, but school bells will be ringing before too much longer. What grade will you be in?
I will be in eighth.
Eighth grade? Where?
Mm-hmm. I am cyber schooled, so I go to CCA. It's called Commonwealth Charter Academy.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
It's good. I enjoy it a lot. I have a lot more time to spend with my animals during the day. And mm-hmm. My horse trainer actually is putting up a barn, and I am working for her this fall.
So when did you switch over to charter school? I assume you went to a school earlier,
yeah,
in elementary school?
I went to public school until 6th grade and then 7th grade. So last year was my first year doing cyber school.
Now let's talk with Riley Henry once again, who is going to be selling a pig, and I can't read my writing here, Riley. What was the other animal?
A
pen of chicken. No wonder I couldn't read that. All I could see was PN, pen of chickens. Are you still in school, Riley?
Yes, I am.
And what grade will you be in come the start of the new school year?
Sadly, I will be going into 9th grade at Franklin Area School District.
Franklin Area in Venango County?
Yes.
All right. How about that? Do you come from a farm family also?
Yes. My great-grandfather had a dairy farm, and then my grandpa on my other side of my family also had a farm, so I've come from a lot of farms.
So you're from Franklin, Venango County, but
yes,
you're going to be involved in the Butler Farm Show. Are you in a 4-H club here locally? Or?
Yeah. When I was starting my first year of 4-H, I was actually closer to the Butler County 4-H area than the Venango County, so I started in Butler County. And then I just made friends, and I figured out where all my animals needed to go. And I just really liked the Butler County 4-H, so I just decided to keep going with that.
Oh, as Maggie said, that's part of the fun, right?
Yes.
I always like to visit the barns when I'm at the farm show. And, you know, there are a lot of young people who just kind of camp out there for the week, you know?
We work really, really hard all year, and especially that week, putting our animals on display for the public, so that's really important to us. But in the end, it's a lot of fun, and we learn so many new things, and we meet so many people. It's just a really good learning experience.
I was out there last year, stopped into, I think it was the dairy barn, I'm not sure, but there was a whole group of young people off in the corner of the barn. It was hot. And I just kind of wandered over, and they were playing a marathon game of Monopoly. They said it had been going on for 3 days.
Yes. We at the I show dairy as well, but I don't sell dairy cows. They don't go through the auction. But it's a very close community. We make friends very easily up there and even at the livestock end.
So you show dairy animals?
Yes.
So this would involve, just like I was talking with Maggie, you have to take your animal into the ring,
yes,
and lead them around, mm-hmm, with a, I mean, they have a halter or something?
Yeah, we have halters. I'll show a little heifer and then I'll show my cow. She is 6 years old and she is way taller than me, so it's definitely difficult to show her, but she behaves very, very well.
I was going to say, mature cows are pretty big.
Yes, especially Holsteins.
Let's talk a little bit with Kaylee here, Kaylee Baker, who will be, I learned during the last break, headed off to college in a couple of weeks, right?
Yes.
Where are you going to school?
Butler County Community College.
Do you know what you're going to study yet?
I'm doing general studies with pre-nursing.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, a lot of people aren't quite sure what they're going to do whenever they start. And a lot of people who are very sure change majors a year or two in. So don't feel bad about that. In fact, it's a good idea to start and get a little bit of experience before you make a final decision.
Yes.
Where did you graduate from high school from, Kaylee?
I graduated from Butler.
Mm-hmm. And you come from a farm family as well?
I do. My mom, on her side, she had breeding sheep, market sheep, and she had steers.
And your farm is close by?
Yes, it's in Kano.
Okay. A lot of people might not realize you don't have to go very far outside the city of Butler until you're in farm territory here, right? Yeah, yeah. So you've been around animals all your life, huh?
Yes. I got exposed to sheep at a very young age, and by the age of 4, I was introduced to horses, which now I continually show my horses through 4-H.
You have horses, too?
Yes.
As in several horses?
I've got 2 horses and a pony.
The first time I ever rode a horse, I had no idea how high you are when you get up on a horse. I had, ridden like, I guess, one of those miniature ponies at a carnival or something like that. And I got up on a horse, I felt like I was on top of a building. Yeah. You ride?
I do. Mm. I do English riding, which is on the rail, and I also do Western, which is a bigger saddle, and we're still on the rail, but we do different patterns. I've also gotten into jumping, where I...
Get out. You do that.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. God bless you. That's one of the last things I would like to do in my life is be on a horse jumping over a fence or something like that. That's terrific. English riding?
Yes.
I never heard of that before.
It's the same as... It goes hand in hand with jumping. Mm-hmm. So it's the same saddle, except you're just on the rail and you do rail work.
You compete in this?
Yes. I was on the Interscholastic Equestrian Association English team, and I have competed at the state level for 4-H.
Wow. Congratulations. That's terrific. Yeah. Tammy, isn't it great to learn about these young adults and all that they've accomplished so early in life?
Oh, it is. I mean, I see myself in some of them. I didn't get to do as many things as some of these young ladies have.
Thank goodness I never had to jump a horse.
No, that would not be me.
Tell you that.
I've been drugged probably by a steer or two and whatnot. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. It does make you a better person. It teaches you a lot of responsibility. These kids are amazing.
They are.
I mean, people need to come out. Even if you're not in the market to buy anything, come out and talk to these kids in the barns, and they'll tell you all about their animals. Everything from what they feed them to where they were born to, you know, their names. Everyone has some fun names. They'll have their signs up. So.
And where does the junior livestock auction take place?
The auction takes place in the livestock barn. So it's the building closest to the water tower if you come in off of the Meridian Road.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's the easiest way to tell everybody. But, yeah, it starts at, the sale will start at 6. We'll start with our charity animals. We have two pens, or a pen of poultry that will be sold from the Livestock Club, and it will benefit the Lighthouse Foundation here in Butler. They provide food, some housing assistance, and things like that for those in need. And then we have a charity hog from the Beef Breeding Club, which will benefit the Butler County Disabled Veterans. And they help veterans with legal assistance, counseling, transportation to appointments, and things like that. So we started this a few years ago, and the clubs fill out an application and submit it. We only allow so many at the beginning of the sale, and all of that money goes to those organizations that it benefits.
And of course, for the young adults who are participating, they're able to use the proceeds from the sale of their animals,
right,
to save for higher education,
college, or next year's projects, or something else. Yeah, there's only a small fee that comes out to help put the sale on, but everything else goes back to the kids.
Or you could blow it all on a trip to Kennywood if you wanted to do that.
That's a lot of cotton candy and roller coasters.
Well, Tammy, it's always good to see you.
Nice to see you, Dave.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
And how nice to have these three young adults with us here in the studio. Kaylee Baker, Maggie Schwamm, and Riley Henry. Nice to have you all here today. Nice to talk to all of you.
Thank you.
All righty. I'll send you back out into the heat. Listeners, thanks for being with us today, and I hope you can join us tomorrow, too, for the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISI. This is Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
Chance to play
and sing it.
I figure it's about the happiest sound.